Today we're talking about what our nation is celebrating, freedom. And I love as patriotic things, and as I said before, I've grown up very patriotic. I love our country for all of our flaws, if we could have the lights, for all of our flaws and faults and weaknesses. I still feel very grateful in my heart for our country. Freedom. The Bible also talks about freedom, and one of my favorite verses on the topic is in Galatians 5. If you have your Bibles, turn there. And Paul is talking about the freedom that we have in Christ, spiritual freedom in our lives. Freedom. Galatians 5:1, it says this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves become burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And if you know the context there, he was taking them away from sin, but also away from the yoke of religion, to where they had to perform in order to please God. They had to perform in order for God to love them and to approve them, that they had to do performance rather than grace. And he's saying, hey, you are free because Christ has set us free. Freedom. In our country, for many, that one word would sum up our country. If you were to describe whichever country and go throughout the world, when we got to America, freedom. In fact, atop the hill in Washington, D.C. stands the Capitol building of the United States of America. The cornerstone of that building was laid in 1793. But the crowning touch was a statue on top of the rotunda known as the Freedom Lady that was placed some 70 years later in 1863. The Freedom Lady stands nearly 20 feet tall and proudly crowns the top of the Capitol building. The headdress that goes around her head is symbolic of a Native American headdress, but it's laced with stars. Underneath her left hand is a shield with stars and stripes. The Freedom Lady was sculpted in Rome and was brought across the Atlantic Ocean aboard a sailing ship. But in the transatlantic cruise, as it's going across, a fierce storm developed, and the captain ordered cargo to be thrown overboard to lighten the load. The crew, desperate to save their own lives, wanted to throw the heavy statue overboard because they felt like that would give them the most lift and opportunity to survive the storm. But the captain refused, and he shouted over the wind while holding on to the rails. He said, "No, never. We will never throw freedom overboard." Because one man stood for freedom, freedom stands above the dome today. Freedom. But yet freedom has gone through transitions in the course of our country. It's been through transitional interpretation since the foundations of our country, and it's different now. In fact, the first phase of freedom that many historians would say is that we were in the freedom of. And this was with the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. That is that era. And in 1787, our Constitution was written and sent to the different states for ratification. And as a part of the ratification process, people wanted a guarantee of certain specific rights and freedoms. And within a few years, the Bill of Rights was added as the first 10 amendments to our Constitution of our great country. And there was the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, the freedom to peacefully assemble together, along with many other freedoms that we still enjoy today. And Paul says this in Romans 13:4, that the government is God's servant working for your good. So the first phrase of freedom is the freedom of, and it flows out of the Revolutionary War, and it flows out of the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. That is what we celebrate today, the Declaration of Independence. But the second phase of freedom was the freedom from. So if the first freedom, the freedom of, was the freedom that founded our country, this freedom represents maybe where we are today, American culture. That over the last years of our country, we've seen a change in freedom from of to the freedom from. And it's a freedom from For many Americans, the freedom from means a freedom from restraints, a freedom from rules, a freedom from regulations, a freedom from anything that would fetter them from pursuing whatever feeling they have at the moment. And the Bible talks about this very type of freedom, the freedom from restraints, the freedom from rules, the freedom from guidelines. The Bible talks about this in Genesis or Judges 21:25, where it says this, that at that time there was no king in Israel and people did whatever they felt like doing. Somewhere along this process of freedom and this road of freedom that we've fallen into the trap of being more focused on our freedom from than our freedom of. And there's a political analyst, comedian, entertainer that named Bill Maher, and I don't always agree with a ton of what he says, but something he says here was right on. He says, we have the Bill of Rights in our country. What we need is a Bill of Responsibilities. That we have changed in our freedom of religion, our freedom of the press, our freedom to our freedom from, that we have all kinds of freedom. We don't want anything to restrain us, that we want to be completely free of responsibility. In fact, a recent survey indicates that only 13% of Americans still believe in all 10 commandments. 9 out of 10 of our citizens admit that they lie regularly. Many of us in America today that we are wishing for a better day, but we're wanting to hang on to our freedom from and hang on to where we are now so that we can continue to do whatever we want to do. And that's why I'm hoping for the third phase. The third phase is this, the freedom for. The freedom for outreach opportunities. The freedom for us to be an example of Christ. And if the first phase takes us back to our inception as our country, and our second phase of freedom brings us to where we are culturally now, that phase three describes God's eternal purpose, and whether we be slave or free or rich or poor or new or established in the country, no matter what, that this is God's eternal purpose to be established in our lives. The freedom to recognize that we have an opportunity for outreach, that we have a freedom of opportunity to connect people with Jesus Christ, the ultimate source of freedom in our lives. That we have this new freedom for opportunities of outreach and for example to the world around us. And it says this in John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be what? Absolutely free. How many of you know that freedom in Christ is amazing and that we don't just simply overcome sin because we're more self-disciplined than that? We become free because God has set us free. That if we have addictions and we have sins that beset us that we fall into, that it's not just doing better and being stronger and being, there's freedom in Christ. So today, freedom. In the movie The Patriot, there's a fictitious character that they tell a story. It's the story of Benjamin Martin, and him and his family were involved in the American Revolution, and it tells a story of the price that was paid for that. And Martin had fought in an earlier war, and though he was a war hero and considered a hero of that battle and that season of the Indian War, the French War, that he was always haunted by his own actions and the brutality of war. And later in the movie, when tragedy hits the scene, Martin repeats these lines, I've long feared that my sins would return to visit me. I've long feared that my sins would return to visit me. How many of you in the room today that you live with the fears of your past are going to one day return to visit you? That we live with the fears of, oh, one day, man, it's karma. Not a Christian principle, but something that we often throw out there. Man, it's going to come back and get me. Or maybe, just maybe, some of us in this room today, we fear that the things we fall into now, the struggles we have now, are going to come back and visit us, come back to haunt us down the road. Is that how you feel today? Well, throughout Galatians, Paul affirms over and over and over how Christ's death can take away that fear. Paul assures us that God provides lasting forgiveness, provides lasting restoration far beyond today, that Christ has set us free for today and for all eternity, that in Christ there is freedom. Do you struggle with worry? There's freedom from that in Christ. I'm not talking about being conscientious and planning. I'm not about that. But do we struggle with worry and fear? There's freedom from that. In fact, that was part of my sermon. And how many of you know that when a pastor is going to speak on something, that oftentimes that's the area he begins to deal with the most, right? And so when a pastor's coming to speak on marriage every February, you talk on love and marriage. How many of you know, on the first week of February, the pastor's had an argument with his wife? I guarantee you. Lennon, you know what I'm talking about. And then you're coming to talk on freedom from lust, and then that week, man, you're just battling, and you're having to call your accountability partner. Man, can you pray for me? You say, whoa, what? You shouldn't say that. I'm just being honest here. And then you say, okay, I'm going to deal with pride. I'm going to deal with humility in that week. So I was talking this week about, going to talk about freedom and freedom from worry and all of that. And this morning at 3:30, I woke up worried about things. I woke up stressed. I couldn't go back to sleep. I sat up and I was like, oh man. And then I go and I get on the couch and I said, you know what, God? This is exactly the conversation I had as I'm sitting on the couch in the dark. God, I have freedom from worry because of what you've done for me and who you are in my life. And I refuse to worry about life, about the church, about what's going on. I refuse to worry because you are my peace. And you know what happened? The next thing I know, my alarm's going off and I'm crashed out on the couch. There's freedom in Christ that we don't have to live in fear or in worry or in doubt or in confusion. There is freedom in Christ for all eternity. So this weekend, as we celebrate our nation's freedom, let us also celebrate the spiritual freedom that God has made for us through Jesus Christ. So if we're going to talk about this topic, what are some of the spiritual freedom principles that stand out for us? If you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down. Freedom principle number one is this, is to rest in what God has done for you. Sometimes we don't rest. We try to prove ourselves to God, or we try to improve ourselves on our own. There's a story of a prisoner who was in a jail in Sydney, Australia. This was years ago, and a bakery delivery truck drives into the prison in order to deliver the baked goods for the day. And he goes, and in an attempt to escape, he opens up the front of the truck where the engine was, and he opens the hood, he climbs in, curves around the engine, closes the hood, and as the bakery truck drives out of the prison, he thinks, I'm free. And as he's in there, he's getting dirty and exhaust and burns and scratches on him. And when the truck stops for its next delivery, he busts the hood open, gets out, and begins to run for freedom, only to realize it had stopped at a prison 4 miles down the road. And he's dirty and scraped and burned and hurting and embarrassed. And how many of you know when we try to get freedom on our own, that's what happens in our own lives, is that we find ourselves in prison in a different direction 4 miles down the road, and we're bruised and hurting and our dignity is gone. This shouldn't surprise us though, is that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. But really, that's a little bit against our American motto. I mean, this is against our American motto of just grab yourself by your bootstraps and you pull yourself up and you make it happen. And now there is something to hard work. There's something to continuing on. There's something to diligence and persistence and all of those things. But when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to our relationship with God, when it comes to salvation and freedom, it only comes by what Christ has done for you. It only comes from what Christ has already done on the cross. And all that we have to do is to begin to embrace that. It doesn't come by our own efforts. How many of you know that we can't earn God's love? This isn't in my notes, and this isn't what I intended to talk about today, but my Father loves me regardless of how I act. Now, we can't always compare our earthly fathers to our heavenly father because our earthly fathers are frail and they're finite and they fall short so many times. So let me tell my experience. My father is a good man. He's a man of character, man of compassion, physically a strong man. I remember in high school we were wrestling and he's strong and he grabs me by my pants and grabs me by my shirt and puts me over his head while we're wrestling in high school. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm never going to fight this man. But he's a man behind the scenes, the same as he was in front. He's just this great man. And there were seasons of my life where I was cold to the Lord, my heart was dark, and that I wasn't following God. I was acting rebelliously to my parents, and my father loved me unconditionally. In high school, there was a moment where my heart was changed, that I went through a spiritual renewal. I committed my life to Christ, and though I was following the Lord, I was respectful to my parents, that my father didn't love me anymore because my father loved me because I'm his son and he's my father. And that's how it is with God. That's how it is with God. That we cannot earn his love. He may not approve of our actions. He may not approve of things we do. But earning his love, we cannot earn. We are invited to embrace his love. We're invited to enjoy his love. We're invited to experience his love, but we cannot earn his love. He loves us, and he sent his son to die on the cross for us so that we can have salvation. And we're invited to experience, enjoy, and embrace the love of God because we can never earn it by our own efforts. But what God did through Jesus, he did to make us free because of his love. And the Bible says while we were still sinners, before we decided to follow God, before our hearts were clean, that he demonstrated his love for us by sending Christ to die on the cross for us. Freedom. What Jesus has done is given us freedom. In Revelation 1:5, it says this: Jesus was the first to conquer death, and he's the ruler of all earthly kings. Christ loves us, and by his blood set us free from our sins. Rest. Rest. Look, guys, I want to tell you, we're about to enter into an election. And the political scene and the political cycle always brings out emotions in people, and suddenly friends get friction between them because they're voting for different candidates, and that it's always a tense-filled season for many people. And the truth is, I'm not real excited about either of our presidential candidates because I don't think they've handled themselves most of their careers very presidential. But at the same time, I'm not overly stressing over it. Why? Because I have this firm conviction that God is in control of my life. I have this firm conviction that God is in control of current events. God is in control of life events. God is in control that if we follow him, our hope is in him, not in our country. Now, should we vote? Yes. Should we vote with moral considerations inside of that? Yes, absolutely. But is our hope in our government as much as I love our country? No, our hope is in the Lord, which is much higher, which was before, which will be after, which has always been. Our hope is in the Lord. And so we have rest that we can do because of what Christ has done for us, that we're free from worry because Christ has set us free. So why worry when God offers us rest? In fact, one of the reasons that when we come together as a church and we confess our sins, we did it just a few moments ago where we asked for repentance of our country and we were confessing the sins of our country. One of the reasons we come into corporate worship and we confess our sins together is because we get to experience the rest that God offers in forgiveness. Freedom is for resting in what God has done for you. But if you're taking notes today, the second spiritual principle, a freedom principle, is this. Is not only do we rest in God and what he's done for us, but also we respond with a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. We respond with a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. And maybe today for us to understand our freedom, let me put it in these terms. How many of you in here have ever flown a kite? Come on, raise them up high. Have you ever flown a kite? Who in here has not flown a kite? Raise them up. Lord, let us get... That's, you're just un-American. You got to fly a kite, right? But let us put it this way. Like, when the wind is blowing strong and you're holding onto the string, that the wind takes the kite. And as you continue to let the string out, the wind blows, it blows harder and harder, the kite goes higher and higher and higher, and it becomes smaller and smaller in our view as it raises an elevation, as the kite tugs against the string in our hands. And as the wind continues to blow, the kite continues to go higher, it continues to get smaller in our view, and again, it's continuing to tug against the restraint of the string. But what happens if the string breaks? Then the kite is free, right? It's free to fly higher, right? Except what happens in that moment is it crashes into the tree or smashes onto the beach. Because it needed the restraint of the string to continue to allow it to fly higher. That, like, what kept the kite airborne was the restraint of the string. And when it lost the restraint of the string, it was unable to continue to fly. And here's what I want us to capture today, that we are never truly freed until we are restrained by the right string in our lives. We are never fully free until we're restrained by something that allows us to fly higher and higher and higher. And it's not the absence of restraint that brings freedom, it's freedom that we find in Christ. In fact, there is freedom in serving God. Let me ask a question. How many of you have ever felt like religion or Christianity growing up, maybe in a strict home, that it was confining rather than freeing? Come on, anyone ever felt? Come on, raise them up high. Don't. I'll raise up both of them. Grew up in a really strict home. And I felt like, man, if I can just get away and live a little, that's freedom. Only to find that living in Christ is true freedom. That is not confinement, but ultimately the freedom that we find in Christ is the freedom to achieve our greatest desires. The freedom to achieve God's purpose, His will for our lives, and we find that only in relationship with Christ. Now, Paul offers us this. He's saying a life empowered by the Holy Spirit is defined this way in Galatians 5. And he says this in the New Living Translation, but when the Holy Spirit controls or when the Holy Spirit restrains your life, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. So when we're restrained by the Holy Spirit, He'll produce love, He'll produce joy, He'll produce peace, He'll produce patience, He'll produce kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That when we're constrained and restrained by the Holy Spirit, that our life is full of joy. How many of us want to live with joy? Listen to this. That when we're restrained by the Holy Spirit, we have freedom from addiction. We have freedom from our past. We have freedom from the things that we fall into. That there is freedom when our lives are restrained by the Holy Spirit and we're the kite able to fly as we're tethered to and tied to the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we've been freed for resting, no longer worrying about the past coming and haunting us. Because of what Christ has done, and for responding with a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if you're taking notes today, number three is this. Is that with freedom, principle three is the freedom to reach out by being a contagious Christian. On July 8th, 1776, there was a sound that changed the world. On this day, the Liberty Bell rang out from the Tower of Independence, and it called all citizens, or from the Tower of Independence Hall, and it called all the citizens together to hear the first public reading of the Constitution, of the Declaration of Independence by Colonel John Nixon. Now, the bell had rang several times before that. It rang 2 years before to call the first Continental Congress together. It rang the next year for the Battle of Lexington and Concord. But we know it best for July 8th, 1776, the call to hear the first reading of the Declaration of Independence, the freedom of our country. And that purpose of that bell to sound out the call of freedom is the same call that you and I have on our lives. That as we have experienced the freedom of God in our own lives, you've experienced God's grace and his freedom from sin, his freedom from your past, his freedom from worry, to where now there's joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. That we've experienced that freedom. Now the call for us is to let that same bell ring through us. That God has the same calling for you and me, that to proclaim liberty throughout the world that is ours through Jesus Christ. Leviticus 25:10 says this, proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Listen, guys, no matter where we are in the world, no matter where we are, what state we are, what position we're in life, Paul reminds us that we have a common need for this free gift that God gives us. In Romans 3, here's what it says in today's English version. God puts people right, or makes people right, through their faith in Jesus Christ. God does this to all who believe in Christ because there is no difference at all. Everyone who has sinned and is far from God's saving grace, but by the free gift of God's grace, we are made right with him through Jesus Christ, who sets us free. Guys, we're in a country with amazing freedoms. And God has placed us here in a country of freedom to have the freedom to be a contagious Christian. We have freedom for reaching out. We have a freedom for presenting the good news of Jesus Christ. We have freedom for presenting the gospel message of Christ. That we have freedom for being an example to those around us who don't know Christ. And even those who do, to show them love and to bring them in and to be part of this family of God. How many of you know that this freedom gives us not only freedom, but responsibility to be an example of faith? So today, we have this freedom to be a contagious Christian. So let me give you a few closing thoughts today before we pray together, before we celebrate in fellowship as a church family. But there's this thought of no other options. At the outbreak of the Revolutionary War, American statesman Patrick Henry proclaimed this famous phrase. He said, "Give me liberty or give me death." And for him and for his peers, there was truly no other option. Freedom or death. In fact, that was such a significant moment in our country that the state of New Hampshire even puts it on their license plates, live free or die. They take their freedom pretty seriously there. But as Christians, that we take our freedom seriously as well. This freedom we have in Christ. But not only do we take that freedom seriously, guys, but as Christians, we also take it joyously. This freedom that we have in Jesus, we take it joyously, not just as a nation founded on freedom, but that we have discovered freedom in Christ. We take this freedom seriously and joyfully, that we get to share this freedom that we found in Christ. So we celebrate it, and that we rejoice in what God has done, and we get to share what God has done. Guys, that we are a nation that is free. We are a people that spiritually are free, and we embrace that, we enjoy that, and we make the most of the freedom that God has given us. That we don't live under the yoke of slavery of sin any longer, but instead we live in freedom, and we share that freedom. Listen, there's no other viable option for lasting freedom than Jesus Christ. And the freedom in Christ calls us to celebrate it, to share it, and to live it out every day. Would you stand with me as we read this closing verse again? In fact, if we could put the Galatians 5:1 back on the screen, I want us to read this together as a church. Are you ready? Would you all read this out loud with me today? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Sounded really good. Let's read it one more time together. Are you ready? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Guys, you are free. And when Christ has set you free, the Bible says you are absolutely free. Absolutely free. And that let's share this freedom that we have in Christ. Let's share that with those around us.